This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Songs. Loved it. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis. We thank you. We thank you so much for joining us. It is Monday, November the 22nd. Hey, by the way, have you got your turkey yet? Ed, you got your turkey? Good man.
Better be thawing out by now.
We don't talk about live turkeys. We're talking about frozen turkeys. You got to put the little critter in the freezer. That's what you got to do. Anyway, in a few minutes, Josh Smith of the Center for Growth and Opportunity, he's going to join us. We're going to talk about a better plan than giving illegal immigrants large amounts of money for family separation. You know about it. It's like up to $450,000. For separating family members at the border. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis travels to Brandon, Florida, to sign a bill putting the brakes on companies mandating virus shots. We're going to get some thoughts on that and a few other things with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And what's with Joe Biden and his penchant for exaggeration? He just related how his house burned down with his wife in it. Did you hear about that? That's not exactly what happened. We're going to take a look at why he has to embellish things like he does. And we have a good one in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 serial killers in the world, all time. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut. And Thanksgiving, you got to look good. Get your hair cut. Go to Andrew's Master Barbershop. You'll get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. You'll get probably the best price. I don't mention price as much as I should. It's very reasonable. And if you're a senior, it's even better. And you got three people there. All you have to do is give them a phone call, 727-733-3773. Book your appointment. Skedaddle over to Dunedin. It's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. All right, and don't forget Good Morning Clearwater. Aren't they great? If you listen to them, it's hard not to get hooked. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Okay, so here's good news for you Biden fans. Joe Biden is telling his inner circle that he is going to be running again for president in 2024. He's ready to go. He just had his 79th birthday, and apparently he had a clean bill of health from his doctor. His doctor said, but the only bad thing or thing to watch is he's got a little problem walking. You know, he kind of walks a little stoop walk a little bit, kind of stiff-legged walk. But he plans to run again. The effort is coming as the broader Democratic community is beginning to wonder if he should run again. I wonder what his inner circle is really telling him, you know? Now, if you're in his inner circle, I guess you want to keep your job for another 4 years. So you probably say, yeah, please run again, you know. But what do you think the rest of the Democratic Party is thinking? People like Pelosi and Schumer and stuff like that. His national approval ratings are not at the best spot for him. They've been plummeting, as a matter of fact. He's lost more than 12 points. Did you know that? He's into the low 40s in popularity and in the job he's doing. And then you got inflation, you got the border problem, you got the oil, the gasoline problem. You have the Afghanistan problem. Seems like he's got nothing but problems. And you don't seem to see him too active, do you? Remember when Trump was always visible. I mean, Donald Trump, I know he relished the spotlight. And maybe Biden doesn't relish the spotlight as much as Trump. But he almost is the other way, you know. You can't corral him for a couple of questions. He just goes up to a dais and reads something prepared and generally turns around and walks away. So how healthy is this guy? In the meantime, he has announced today that Jerome Powell will indeed continue as chairman of the Federal Reserve. It signals that he believes the battle-tested central bank chief, who has been there for a while, is the best person for one of the most high-stakes jobs. It ends months of speculation over what he would do. There was a chance that he was going to tap Lael Brainard, who was the sole Democrat on the Fed's Board of Governors, to take over. But not so fast. And we'll see where all of that goes. Of course, we've talked about this over the years. The Federal Reserve and the income tax were both created in 1913. It's kind of an ominous year if you think about it. I don't know which was worse. Really, I don't. Whether creating a federal income tax, because before that, before 1913, although we did have income taxes come and go, the permanent income tax came in 1913. Before that, we relied on the money that we got from an import tax. In other words, countries sending their goods to our place, we taxed them. They took that money and ran our federal government with it. See, back then, we actually followed the Constitution a lot closer. And we didn't spend the kind of money we're spending today because all of a sudden, the federal government has become something it was never intended to be. Right? Now it's running our healthcare system to a large degree, running our educational system to a large degree. Things it was never intended to do. So, of course, they're taking more money from us. And this gives them the opportunity to claim they need more money. Well, we got to run your Medicare. You want dental? Well, we got to get more money from you. We got to run your educational system, right? You want more schools? Well, you got to pay us. Of course, we don't need them if you think about it. Never have. Because the free market always gives you the best product at the lowest price. That I don't care if it's education, health care, food, shelter, clothing, right? You'll always get the best product at the lowest price. But the middleman, the government, gets in and wow. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Josh Smith going to tell us another way we can handle illegal immigrants and large amounts of money for family separation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back here on Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. Apparently, they've identified this guy, huh? That ran over all those people in Waukesha. I'm looking at a picture of him. Kind of looks a little dopey. Don't know anything more about him, but... That's a horrible situation, is it not? We're going to hear more and more about that, of course, as time goes by. We are delighted to have back Josh Smith from the Center for Growth and Opportunity over at Utah State University. He has a better plan than paying illegal immigrants $450,000 when they experience family separation. Josh, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're glad you're excited. We're excited to have you. And I like your idea, but I want you to explain it. Rather than give everybody $450,000 in a family for separation, what do you propose?
So I think we should modernize the U.S. immigration system by selling visas and then using the money we collect through that to help areas that have been left behind by globalization. So you can think about towns that used to have huge steel industries or manufacturing that have been left behind. And if we sell visas, we can use those funds to bring more prosperity to those areas once again. Our research suggests we could raise about $67 billion.
Really?
By selling visas. Yeah, the U.S. is the best country on the planet. It's really easy to charge people. They want to come here for the kinds of opportunity that exists only here.
Okay, so let's define this. In other words, you're going to have immigrants, whether they're legal or illegal, pay for their visas. Is that right? I mean, let's say you come over the border illegally. Will you charge them, and if they do not pay for it, they go back? Or is this strictly for legal immigrants?
That's right. It would be for legal immigrants.
Okay.
It would be a way for mostly high-skilled immigrants to be able to pay their way in. I know you've covered this on your show before, but there are long wait times for many, many people who we should be trying to get to come here. Instead of making Indian immigrants with PhDs or doctorates or any kind of medical training wait 150 years, we should be able to have a system that lets them come if they can pay for the $80,000 fee.
Yeah, in fact, I think what you've said in a nice way is it will call out some of the people that might not be as helpful to this country. In other words, we would get a better cream of the crop kind of person. Is that what you're implying?
That's right. We're going to be bringing in people who right now struggle to come to the country legally. So think about Zoom, the teleconferencing software. Eric Yuan, the Chinese inventor of that, tried 8 times to come to the country. 8 times. And you can imagine that if instead he would have been able to present his idea to investors and they would have said, this is a great idea, they could have paid that $80,000 to bring him to the country and he could have gotten a start on building his company that much faster.
I see. Yeah, I think that is kind of a good idea. Now, people will say to you, Josh, you're being prejudiced. You're only going to get people that are educated or smarter or whatever it is, more industrious to show up. And that's not fair. That's not fair to the other people, to the poor people that maybe don't have the money. Maybe they're industrious, but they don't have the money. How would you answer that one?
So I think we should still maintain a refugee system. The U.S. has a long history of being a refuge to those who have been discriminated against by their country's government, by groups in their countries. And I think that's a heritage that we should continue and live up to. But we have a skills shortage here in the country against countries like China. We want to be able to develop new technologies, be a big, big country that doesn't have to worry about competitors. And so I think that's the real promise here, opening up additional avenues for the best of the best to come to the country.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Josh Smith. He's an immigration expert at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. It's headquartered at the Utah State University, and I think he wrote something about this in The Hill, if I'm not wrong, which argues on behalf of having immigrants pay for their own visas. Now, explain to us, explain, Josh, to those who don't know, a visa is basically an allowance to come into our country. It's a little different than a passport, right?
That's right. So this wouldn't be a citizenship proposal, though we can have an avenue for people who have been here for several years, just like we do now, to become full citizens. But right now, this is about giving access to highly skilled people to come here and live and work and power development. Right now, we have a problem where immigrant students say they want to start companies much more often than do native students, and yet we make it difficult for them to stay here. All the time, there are students who want to come here and end up actually getting poached by Canada. So Canada has a system that lets more educated people come in called express entry. And so the U.S. needs to get in the game competing for those people. We train them at the best universities in the country, and then we let them go north to America Light. This is the kind of place or the kind of opportunity for us to keep those skilled people here.
Yeah. So when you get a visa, let's say that there's an interest in a particular person. He's got something going that we want him here. And so he is offered a visa for perhaps, if he wants to pay for it on his own, or somebody might sponsor him and pay the visa. Is that kind of what you're thinking, or what?
That's right. So you can imagine paying for it like a car loan or a mortgage over 20, 30 years. So $80,000 is a lot of money, but so is buying a home, and we have financial instruments to pay for that. But you can also think about a company might sponsor someone. If you come work for me, then I will pay for that visa cost. You can imagine not just like the big tech companies like Google and Amazon, but also like rural areas that struggle to get doctors to come and work there could strike up these kinds of arrangements. And that's something else that it's not just for the areas that are prosperous already. This gives another route for people across the entire country to benefit from the skills of people, skills of additional immigrants.
Okay. Now, like anything involving the government, and of course the government's involved, you have to worry about abuse and fraud and selling visas. I know you've thought about it. Is there an easy answer for that, or would we have to put up with that kind of treachery?
Well, the great thing about charging people $80,000 apiece and raising $67 billion is that you can include, paid for by the immigrants who are paying those visas, an enforcement mechanism that polices who is paying for it, if they're on time, and just like the IRS does with taxes. But this time, we're able to raise that money and spend it on anything you can think of that would make you amenable to these kinds of programs. I really think this kind of visa sale gives us so many opportunities to compromise on immigration policy.
I like it, actually. I really do. Now, have you spoken to anybody directly in the federal government? I mean, obviously, you're hoping, because it's in The Hill and everything, that somebody in the know with a little power behind them will read this and go, that's a good idea. But have you spoken with any politician about this directly? Have you gotten any feedback on it, anything like that?
This is an old proposal. Lots of people have talked about it, and our door is always open to anyone who wants to talk about it. We are always reaching out about our research, and you can find it on our website, but we want to try and get it into the hands of the people that you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been appetite for these kinds of programs before.
Yeah, I think it's great. Now, I am the son of a person that came. In fact, I came over with my parents from Canada, and my dad had to have a sponsor. He was a newspaper guy. And a good one. So he got a sponsor in the United States that vouched for him. And in fact, the sponsor had something to do with the job that he got when he came in. But you had to have a sponsor. I don't know how, being an immigration guy like you are, for people legally coming over, do they still have that kind of responsibility, a sponsor and everything?
So here, you would be able to sponsor yourself. Now, that doesn't mean we should just let anyone walk across the border after they pay $80,000, but it does mean that we can institute some kind of background check on people to make sure we're not bringing in anyone with nefarious plans who can front the money. So there are still opportunities for the same kinds of benefits that sponsorship model provides.
Mm-hmm. Got it. But I mean, right now, not necessarily your plan, but when people come over now, legally, must they have a sponsor in this country right now?
Yeah, so most of them are through a family-based system, which is part of why a proposal like this is exciting, because it would begin people more on a skill system than a merit-based system. But the H-1B visa, which is for skilled immigrants, and the H-2 visas, which are for seasonal workers, mm-hmm. both require employers to sponsor in the same way that your dad was sponsored.
Got it. Again, we're talking with Josh Smith, an immigration expert, Center for Growth and Opportunity. Now, what was my question about? I want to know what you think about this $450,000 payoff to people that are experience family separation. Apparently, this is to go to people that this happened to when Trump was president. Who would come up with something like this? Does this have any chance of passage, do you think?
I think Biden's comments are really clear that any $450,000 payment per person is unlikely to ever happen. And for example, during the Trump administration, the Trump government settled with two people who were separated, and they settled for about $60,000 a person. So I think this is the lawyers on the side of the immigrants doing their job and trying to anchor the number much, much higher than it will ever actually be.
But
it's a negotiating tactic, and some sleight of hand is definitely happening.
So Trump's people actually paid off some illegal immigrants?
There was one case settled by the Trump administration of a similar situation. I believe it was a father and a son were separated, and because of the conditions in the detention center, they sued later. So I think they only settled for about $60,000 a person, and I think that's a much more likely.
But that's not a separation. That was a conditions were bad and pay me off for having me stuck in that kind of an environment, right?
Right, and
that's not quite the same.
Part of the argument. It's the most comparable case that I think has actually been paid out.
But the Trump administration didn't pay off anybody because they separated a child from a parent.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't think so.
I want to stay away from some of the legal angles specifically, but I know that similar payments have been made and they've been much smaller.
Why pay them anything? They came over illegally. They got caught or they handed themselves over. Why pay them a penny? I don't understand it. What do you think, Josh?
The best way to deal with these kinds of problems is always to have a high wall and a wide gate.
Yeah.
So let's let people come in
through
a legal channel instead. That's always going to be much more controlled and be a better way for us to know who's coming and going.
Yeah. Josh, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You're very interesting. And talking about this way of visas and paying them, I think deserves some real consideration. Thank you so very much for coming on.
Well, thank you again. Happy to come back anytime.
All right, my friend. Josh Smith. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he went to Brandon, Florida. He signed a bill. He puts the brakes on companies mandating virus shots. We're going to get some thoughts on that from the barber man himself, Andrew Ceraci.
I remember when Rock was young. Me and Susie had so much fun. Holding hands and skimming stones. Had an old gold chair and a place of my own. But the...
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The Monday before the Thursday. And the Thursday is the day of the turkey. Well, it's not really the day of the turkey. It's the day the turkey doesn't like. I wonder how many turkeys get away. You know, first of all, did you know that there are turkeys wandering around Pinellas County? Just wandering around. There was... Yeah. I mean... Oh, no. That's terrible. That's just terrible. Now there's one less turkey wandering around Pinellas County. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. See, Ed's got this shotgun, okay? And every once in a while, a turkey will wander onto the property here where the radio station is. And he sneaks out. I guess that's how he gets his dinner. I'm not quite sure.
Wild turkey.
Wild turkey.
Wild turkey.
Nothing tastes better than a wild turkey.
Wild turkey.
Okay, so... This is a wonderful story. Governor Ron DeSantis signed into law a bill that forces companies to slam the brakes on coronavirus vaccine mandates. He goes to Brandon. It's great. And in a show of city pride, the chant of "Let's go, Brandon" rang out while he was signing it. I think that's wonderful.
Because they were in Brandon.
I salute Brandon as well.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place. If anybody that's been there knows that it is. A very proud city, and let's go, Brandon, because we want to see that city continue to be the great city that it is. So I understand we've got, I promoted Andrew, and he's not, but we got Angelo, his brother, is that right? Mm-hmm. Angelo, we have great city pride here. As Governor Ron DeSantis signed this bill, they all got up and shouted, "Let's go, Brandon." What do you think of that?
I think it's great.
Okay. That's wonderful.
Let's go, Brandon.
Yeah. It's a nice city here in Florida. And he really did go to Brandon, Florida to sign the bill. In fact, he signed multiple bills there. He said this, "I told Floridians that we would protect their jobs, and today we made that the law." He said, "Nobody should lose their job due to heavy-handed COVID mandates." And he said, "We have a responsibility to protect the livelihoods of the people of Florida. I'm thankful to the Florida legislature for joining me in standing up for freedom." And again, they all shouted, "Let's go, Brandon." Now, I'm not so sure that a company doesn't have the right to tell you. If you're working for a company and they say, "Look, we already have, testing for, say, drug testing when we hire somebody, and we do this and we do that, but we also are going to require that you take a virus shot before you work for us." What do you think?
Well, you've got two choices. You either take the virus shot or you don't, and you look somewhere else.
Well, that's it, exactly right. So therefore, does that not allow a company to make that decision on their own?
Well, I think the company should make their own decision. I mean, it's a free country, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly, before we get to turn communism, these idiots.
Socialism and communism, right? So what you're saying is that you
have... talking to my neighbor Saturday, my next door neighbor. His wife's probably going to lose her job today because New York State has these mandates, you know. And
what kind of a job is she doing?
She works in a medical field in one of the hospitals.
And she does not...
She's got these mandates, mm-hmm. exemptions, and today at a certain time. And
she does not want to take... She does not want to take
this job, he goes. But, this, you know, he says, this is what I believe. This is what he believes in, you know. Like, this is it.
Okay.
You know?
So she does not want to take the shot.
She does not want to take the
got
shot.
It.
Nor does he. And she works in the hospital,
yeah.
along with other hospital workers that don't want to take the shot.
Yeah. Now, do you think a hospital should mandate, or not should, but could be allowed to tell everybody that works in the hospital that you got to have a virus shot to work here?
Well, I guess, you know, I don't think they're publicly owned, right? They're privately owned?
Yes.
By certain companies?
Yes,
stuff.
They are.
And they can, you know.
They can make the rules, can't they?
And then what happens is now that they don't have the proper personnel to do the job, that's going to bring... I wouldn't want to go to a hospital...
Understaffed?
Unstaffed like that.
Understaffed.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, some of them, you know, are changing their tune. There's a bunch of them that said, well, I know that we told you that you had to have a shot by today, but never mind. Because it turns out by doing that, we aren't having enough of you show up. So uh-huh. they've actually, a lot of them have done a spin, 180 on it.
Right. And the thing is, like in Virginia, the elections there, the people had had enough. They stood up and fought back, and you saw what happened.
Yeah.
And if the American people continue to do the same thing, see what's happening to our country, you know, they're going to get fed up and say, hey, enough is enough.
Angelo, did I didn't identify you correctly when you came on. Angelo's our eye in the northern sky. He's up in Rochester, New York. And we have him on every Monday or every other Monday or a lot of Mondays, and he gives us the thought about what's going on up there. So what is the political environment like right now? Did Rochester have to kind of be careful after that verdict in Kenosha, Wisconsin, for that guy that was found innocent, or I should say not guilty? Go ahead.
They really didn't publish anything on it, really, because, you know, cold weather... They're not, it's been cold up here. You know,
yeah.
I'm calling for snow this weekend. They're not.
So we don't have the concern right as much now. During the cold weather. Yeah.
They don't like the cold weather. You notice that across the country, you didn't have too many protests, right?
True.
It's cold. They'll only protest when it's warm outside and they can gather and do their things and, you know. But
well, you know, if you were truly a dedicated person, the weather shouldn't be that much of a factor, right?
Right. But, you know, it could be cold. Like you saw those people that rioted in Kenosha, those three guys. I mean, you know they were criminals, right? They weren't going to do any. They could have cared less.
I guess you're right. So I see your ex-governor is getting in more trouble. Why do we need his so-called expertise on the verdict in Kenosha? He comes out and he's basically talking like, the guy got off, he shouldn't have got off. I can't remember exactly what the words were, but I'm thinking, you know, you got enough trouble. You got enough. Well, what are you injecting your own opinion into this?
He's trying to, I guess he's trying to stay in the limelight still. He's trying to, he wants to prove his innocence, which, I don't know. You know, I mean, let's face it, you got the Attorney General keep going after him, not because she wants to be in the limelight.
Yeah,
because she's running for governor.
We're talking about former Governor Andrew Cuomo. And now, who is the current governor again?
Kathy Hochul.
Okay.
She was the lieutenant governor.
And she was just, so she hasn't been elected, she just replaced Cuomo.
She replaced Cuomo. She's the unelected governor of New York.
Okay. Now, I want to get to another question back on the virus with you, Angelo. Mm-hmm. And that is, I know you got the original shot. Did you get a booster shot?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Do you feel that you're more protected now?
I hope I am.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Okay.
Somebody was saying the other day that those booster shots, the original shots I got were only 35% effective. But, the booster shot's going to do more. I imagine it's probably going to be like that every year, like getting a flu shot.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that as well. Nobody really knows. But it does sound like it's not a one-timer anymore. Remember when we first got wind of these shots, 85, 89, 94% effective, and you got the impression that it was like the polio shot, right?
Right.
That you got one shot, one vaccine, and you were good for the rest of your life, but not so much with this thing.
No, and in fact, I just got my shingles shot last week. You know,
mm-hmm.
a new one. But, I thank President Trump for doing this. I saw him last night on Levin. And, you know, he's the one that actually got this thing going. And if it wasn't for him, you would have had more people dying from this thing. I don't know how effective it is, but it's got to be some kind of effective to have lowered the death rates.
Yeah. We're talking with Angelo Ceresi, our eye in the northern sky. So he was on, Donald Trump was on the Mark Levin show on Fox last night. Did he talk at all about whether or not he is considering running again for president?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, like he's alluding to it, you know. All the signs look like he wants to run. And but he was talking mostly about what's happening in the country. And everything he has said has been happening, is coming true. You know, he was talking about how they were going to do the taxes, how gasoline was going to go higher and higher because they don't want us to drive our cars. They want to do away with fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do away with the gas. They want to do away with oil and coal and all that stuff. And they just want to go to what they call renewable energy or green, you know, their green thing, whatever they're calling them.
Hey, by the way, I've got a better idea than having Trump and Biden run against each other in an election. You know how it'll get so down and dirty and nasty and everybody will be upset. Why don't we put both of them on Jeopardy, the program Jeopardy? And the winner of the Jeopardy program becomes president. Now, if we do it that way, first of all, we save a lot of money. It doesn't cost too much to do the game show.
No.
And obviously, you want somebody that's in command of his senses, right?
Absolutely.
So, what do you think? And then you could, like, really, on the double Jeopardy question, that could really be interesting.
That's right. And Biden doing double Jeopardy?
Ed?
I don't think so.
Do you watch Jeopardy, Ed, at any time? No, you're not a Jeopardy.
A couple of times.
Okay. I used to watch the show. I think it would. Ed, what do you think if we put Trump and Biden on Jeopardy? We'll have somebody that's non-biased be the master of ceremony. What do you think?
I think we can get Biden much past his name before he'd be out, wouldn't he?
Well, it could be. And then
I'd rather just give him some big old boxing gloves and put him in a ring.
What?
Put it on pay-per-view and call it a day.
Between Trump and Biden?
Yeah.
I think that would go to... I can't imagine Biden. Well, you know, although, let's be honest, Biden's in a little bit, he looks slender. Although, all you have to do is hit him
frail.
Once. I think you hit him once, he'd go down, wouldn't he?
Good wind blow will knock him over.
We first have to get through the 2022 next year's elections.
Yeah, I guess we better get.
Got to purge the Democrats and the rhinos out of Congress and in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people that passed this bill,
The infrastructure bill. The infrastructure bill, yeah.
Infrastructure bill. That's going to increase the inflation more now. You know, all this stuff that they want to do, their new Green Deal, the whole nine yards. I mean, gas, I just paid, $3.60 a gallon. It'll be $4 by Christmas.
Wow.
Before that.
Now, here in Tampa Bay, I'm guessing, Ed, that it's around $3.29. Yeah, he's nodding. So,
you know,
you're spending about 31 cents more than we are.
Yeah, I cannot imagine the American people tolerating what's happening. I mean, I cannot believe that they're happy with the way the country is going.
I don't think they are. Look at the polls. Look at the polls. I mean, he's under Biden is underwater in every category.
Everything they have touched has turned terrible.
Yeah,
you know, everything. You know what they do is they don't pick people to run departments by
ability
capabilities. They pick it by race, gender.
Of course,
right. I mean, whether you're black, blue, green, yellow, whatever, if you're qualified for the job, you get the job. But not just because you're this or you're that. It's no bearing. And that's how
Angela, where have you been? That's the way politics have been forever. You always hire cronies. Once you get in, you hire everybody that helped get you in, no matter how good they are. You know that.
Yeah, I know that.
That's the way of the political world. It's probably been that way since B.C., you know?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Huh?
And the people still haven't woken up yet.
I know. You're right.
To see what they do.
So what are you doing for Thanksgiving, my friend?
Well, my wife, she's had a bout with the shingles right now.
So
hopefully, she's doing better now. I think we'll get together with my son and my daughter, their families, you know.
Yeah. What is your wife's first name?
Maria.
Maria. Oh, beautiful name. Yep. I think they wrote a song about Maria. Yeah.
Yes, my band, we played it a couple of times.
It's a wonderful song. Well, I want you to have a wonderful, healthy, enjoyable family Thanksgiving, Angelo. It's always a pleasure to have you on with us.
Pleasure.
And we'll look forward to being with you again next Monday, I hope.
I'd like to take a trip down there this winter, down to Florida, to go visit my brother, you know.
Oh, yeah. I know he would love to see you. Mm-hmm. Are you a barber as well? Why don't you come over and do some hair cutting while you're down here?
No, actually, I worked in the Postal Service for 41 years.
All right, then you can come down and do some mail sorting. I know there's something we can have you do when you get
mail delivery down there.
It's getting slower. How's that sound? Getting slower. We need good mail people here. Anyway, thank you very much, Angelo.
Oh, thank you so much. You all have a nice Thanksgiving.
Thanks, buddy.
And stay safe and everything.
All right.
Take care.
All right, Angelo Soraci. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, what is this with Joe Biden and his penchant for exaggerating? You know, he just related how his house burned down with his wife in it?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we always enjoy having you listen in to what we have to say. It's a real pleasure. By the way, if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Ed, you can listen to us on podcast on podcast. All you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Our, O-U-R, freedomworks.com. Look at the top there where the word podcast is. Click on it. Ed's got all our shows chronologically, most recent at the top. He also gives you the topic and the name of the person that we'll be interviewing. And our top 10. What more can you ask for? You can listen to it while you're having Thanksgiving dinner. I know Ed's going to listen while he's eating his turkey to one of our shows. All right. President Biden said last week that his house burned down with his wife Jill inside before trying to correct himself, adding to a long list of personal stories he's embellished over the years. Is he one of these guys like Ed, when you're in a bar, you know how you sit next to a guy sometimes at the bar and you just know that the guy's embellishing, you know? Well, you've had people that you've known that embellish.
Yeah, but I don't think he does it on purpose to make himself look better. Because listen, he knows that they fact check everything he does. You know, he sneezes, they fact check it. He doesn't even realize it.
He doesn't realize?
His brain.
You honestly thought?
I honestly think if you look at him today, I think there's a huge difference in a year ago, how much he slowed down.
Yeah. I think you're right. He just turned 79 Saturday.
Yeah.
Now, he's got 3 more years.
Mm-hmm.
3 more years of this. That means he'll be close to 82. 82. Can you imagine what he's going to be like in three years?
I don't know what he's going to be like in a year. In
another year. Well, anyway, speaking on a New Hampshire bridge last week, by the way, I'm glad he didn't fall off now that I think about it. You know, he's got that situation walking. And he was talking about his bipartisan infrastructure plan. He said, without this bridge, as I said earlier, it's a 10-mile detour just to get to the other side. And I know, having had a house burned down with my wife in it, she got out safely, God willing, that having a significant portion of it burn, I can tell you, 10 minutes makes a hell of a difference. And if we didn't have the bridge, my wife would have melted. She would have melted like the witch. I'm kind of making that part up, okay? In the Wizard of Oz, remember when they threw water on her?
Yeah.
Okay. Would that have happened to Joe Biden, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I also heard the governor say, I don't know why he's doing this thing here, because we got the lowest amount on the totem pole as far as when the infrastructure money, our state got the lowest.
Ha ha.
I don't know why he's doing it here.
My goodness. All right. We got a couple of minutes before we go to our wonderful top 10, and we got a good one. We have a research staff here, and they go back and find our top 10s, and they had to do some real in-depth to come up with the top 10 greatest serial killers, so we'll be holding on to that. But before we go there, Ed, we have a big game tonight for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or is it not such a big deal?
Well, it's Monday night, and the Bucs lost 2 in a row now. They don't want to lose 3 in a row.
No, they don't. What's going on with them?
A lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And we got beat last week by Washington. And I said Washington's a good team. They won yesterday again. They beat Carolina, but I know Carolina's not a whole lot to shake at, but you can see that that's a good football
team.
We have got to get the secondary for the Bucs. Got to get them guys healthy. Otherwise, it's going to be game over. Forget it.
Who are they playing tonight?
They're playing the Giants. The Giants come to town.
Are the Giants any good?
They can be.
Well, in other words, they're not.
You know,
any good.
Any week doesn't matter. You know,
in other words, they're not any good. But they can win.
Yeah, the Titans yesterday got beat by Houston.
Hey, did you watch any of the Bears game?
I did.
Bears fan.
I did.
I was sick, of course, because it looked like the Bears had won that game. And then all of a sudden, their defense, which had been so good.
One
virtually
play.
The entire game fell apart at the end.
One play. Mm-hmm. One play.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the way the ball bounces. All right, Ed. Hey, we got a good one here. Top 10 serial killers. Now, these are worldwide, okay?
Ooh.
And this goes back. It's not just most recently, all right? So here we go, without further ado. And by the way, this comes from Wikipedia.
Mm.
Top 10 serial killers. Number 10, Giuseppe Greco from Italy. Between 1981 and 1983, he killed at least 58 people. He might have killed between 80 and 300, but they weren't sure. And what happened to him? He was murdered in his home in 1985.
Hmm.
Okay. Number 9. An American, Samuel Little. 1970 to 2005, he went on a murder spree, and he killed 60 people, but they say he might have killed as many as 93. Three women, later investigations ranked 31 others that he murdered. He said he claimed he killed as many as 93. All right, number 8. Yang Zhenhai from China. Between 2000 and 2003, 67 people. He was known as the Monster Killer.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, number 7. This is a hard one to pronounce. Kampatamar Shankarayana from India. You remember him?
Mm.
Okay, 77 to 78. Wow. In only 1 year, he knocked off 70 people. Knocked off 70 people.
Better get his name right, it'll be 71.
Yes, it will. Number 6. This is from Brazil. Pedro Filho. Between 1967 to 2003, wow, he was going for a long time. He killed 71 people, might have killed as many as 100.
Hmm.
He claimed to have killed over 100. He was sentenced to 128 years, but listen to this. He was released in 2018. How can they release somebody that did all of that? Number 5. From Colombia, Daniel Barbosa. Between 74 and 86, he killed 72 people. He was killed in jail by the nephew of one of his victims.
Mm.
Okay, number 4. Mikhail Popov of Russia. 1992 to 2010, he killed 78 people. He was called the werewolf, and for good reason.
Mm.
Number 3. Javed Iqbal from Pakistan. Between 1998 and 1999, 1 year, he killed 100 people. 100. He was a child murderer. He died in custody before he could be executed. Number 2. Pedro Lopez. In Colombia, Peru, and Ecuador, between 1969 to 1979, he killed 110 people. He was a child murderer and a rapist known as the Monster of the Andes.
Wow.
He was released from jail in the late 1990s. All right, Ed, I know you don't know who it is.
We didn't have anybody from America in there, did we?
Yeah, we did. We had one.
Oh, that's right. That
yeah, we had good old Sammy Little.
Yeah.
Who only killed 80 people. No, was it 60? 60 people. Small potatoes, okay? Mm. Number 1 is Luis Garavito from between the countries of Colombia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. 138 people. He was a child murderer and torture killer and rapist known as La Bestia, which is Spanish for the beast. Listen to this. He's scheduled to become eligible for parole in 2023.
Wow.
So I take it in those countries there is no death penalty. That's unbelievable.
Wow.
How can you let somebody like him out?
I don't know.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade.